Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is still America's greatest addiction. I also believe that America is the greatest sin against God.
Whoa.
If the greatest command is to love, then the sin against love must be the greatest sin against God, who is love and who calls us to love one another.
Blue Monday. Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time.
So finally, Hussein Obama did what he was supposed to have done a long time ago, like 20 years ago. He left the racist, anti-American, black liberation church. It's unbelievable to me how you people will put up with this. But liberals are insane. We know that. Liberalism is a mental disorder. We understand they're suicidal. And that even people who hate them, in fact, people who hate them, they love more. Now, why do they love people more who hate them? Because they're guilty and they feel they deserve to be hated. What can I do? It's hard to get inside the mind of an insane person without going crazy, and I'm not a psychiatrist. But when Obama's first pastor, Jeremiah Wright, was heard across the globe, on this show, The Savage Nation, I said, you know what, it's not enough that he's disavowed the man, which he didn't do right away. He should leave the church, and he wouldn't do it then. What we're all starting to see is the inner Obama. How many times can you look away from the church that a man attends and what's said in there, what's said in there, what's said in there, and what the man has actually taken in like a sponge, and what he actually believes? How much of what this hate speech is in Obama's head is the question. America is the greatest sin against God? The greatest sin against God? Wow. You mean not Iran? You mean not Syria? You mean not where they take the kidneys out of prisoners? But America is the greatest sin against God. Well, I think Obama's Afrocentrist, white-hating church is going to sink his campaign. And I think you really ought to pay very close attention to who the man really is as opposed to the fiction that's been created by the psychopaths in the media. If you go to michaelsavage.com, we have a few select photographs of Mr. Obama prior to his re-entry onto the world stage. One in Africa in full headgear, just so you get a taste of. I mean, I know he's not a Muslim. He just happens to be wearing Muslim head garb. Now, that doesn't mean he's bad. Some Muslims are nice people. The question is, maybe he's a nice Muslim. Maybe he's not a nice Muslim. Maybe he's an Islamist inside. What do I know? I do know the word war right now in a few nations around the globe. I do know that Islamists are on the warpath against the West right now. And I do know that it'd be rational to kind of find out who this man is inside with regard to his Muslim heritage. As I say, I don't care what your heritage is. All I care is that you put America first, not America last. I don't know that Obama puts America first or last. I don't know where he stands. I have a suspicion I know by Reverend Wright and Reverend whatever this guy's name is, if he has a name. And I'll let you decide. There's a few other sound bites that you have to hear from this guy. Let's start with 05.
To call the best hope we've had in America for a mighty long time a kid with a fairy tale. Calling in 2008 a black man a kid is like 1958 calling him a boy. And that was unacceptable, and this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for someone to say he would not be where he is if he were not black. And it's evil to say that because his middle name is Hussein, that's connected to terrorists, And they would be dancing around the Middle East if he got elected president.
Well, it gets even better in clip six here on the Savage Nation. Let's go for it. Let's hear that one.
I would not allow them to tear down Medgar. I would not allow them to tear down Malcolm. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back while you tear down Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you seek to reduce Jeremiah Wright, who's one of the greatest biblical scholars this nation has, to a 30-second sound beat and try to demonize him and trivialize him? You cannot do that. We won't allow you to do that. Because when you
hold on. You won't allow us to do it? Get Jeremiah Wright saying, God the America. We'll do it. Let's see you stop me. Get the piece that Jeremiah Wright, which again is Barack Obama's other mentor, spiritual mentor. What do you think he was doing in there? He was going to play bingo? You're going to tell me that Obama went into that church for 20 years to play bingo, you rotten bums, you? This guy's an out-and-out traitor. I don't care what you tell me. The guy is a sleuth, a stealth traitor. Period. End of story. He is a stealth traitor. And for you fools to buy into this is astonishing to me. Do you have the God, the America piece
the
from Jeremiah Wright?
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America that's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
Now, the question is why Obama's church friends lap up anti-white sermons by the bucketful. That's the only question here. It's not that there are two hateful preachers, one black, one white. Apart from the racism of these two reverends and this anti-Americanism, which they're entitled to, incidentally, because it is a free country, what do you make of the congregation that sits there and cheers, lapping it all up? What do you make of such a congregation? And would you want a member of that congregation leading the United States of America? 1-800-449-8255. We're off and running at the Savage Nation. There are the topics. On Saturday night, I watched a sporting event on CBS, the first time I have since I was 11 years old. It was mixed martial arts, which had two controversial endings, Kimbo Slice. Did anyone see it? Would you raise your hand if you saw this? Because this was the first time cage fighting or mixed martial arts was on network television. I normally watch it on either Showtime or wherever it's appeared because the great beverage company Rockstar is something I'm very proud of, and they sponsored this sport long before others understood it for what a great sport it really is. But when I saw the main event stopped so soon because the big Englishman's ear was falling off, I wondered if they stopped the fight because his ear was falling off or because the sensibilities of the network audience were such. And another fight was stopped earlier when a fighter was poked in the eye, again too early, because the fighter himself said, I'd rather die than see this fight stopped. I'd rather fight till I'm dead. You don't understand the mentality of these guys. I am not a fighter, but I understand their mentality. You understand that what I do for a living and what anyone does in talk radio, if they do it right, is very similar mentally to what these guys do physically. Did you hear what I just said to you? You've got to be willing to go into that ring, and you've got to be willing to fight for what you believe in from the time the gong goes off until the gong ends. That's the way that sport is. There's nothing like it, and that's the way talk radio should be. You got to believe in something, and you got to go in this ring, and you got to be willing to fight for it. And what I believe in is America, borders, language, culture. And for these low-life preachers to get up there and say, God, you know, hate America like this and hate white people, and for you to think that Obama sat there like a sponge and it rolled right over him, I mean, you're a fool if you believe that. I believe Obama is a black liberationist, a black supremacist. I also believe that Obama is a man who hates this country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When Hillary was crying and people said that was put on, I really don't believe it was put on. I really believe that she just always thought, this is mine. I'm Bill's wife. I'm white. And this is mine. I just got to get up and step into the plate. And then out of nowhere came, hey, I'm Barack Obama. And she said, oh, damn, where did you come from? I'm white. I'm entitled. There's a black man stealing my show.
Now, would you send your child to this church? Would you buy a used religion from this church is the question. There's so many questions that no one will ask in the mainstream or midstream media, depending upon what angle you're looking at them. But the reason we even have an unknown quantity such as this getting this far is because of the complicity of the valueless American media, which has collapsed like Chernobyl. The American media is supposed to be a watchdog, not a lapdog. In this case, they are lapping up the hatred of America because they actually agree with the Fliegers and the Reverend Wrights. Most in the media agree with the Fliegers and the Wrights. They hate this country to their core. And that is why the mainstream media is in trouble. And that's why men like me have been thriving for 15 years. Make no mistake about what I'm saying to you. This country is in very deep trouble. If an unknown, obvious racist like Obama, you know, Obama, if you listen to his pastors, and don't tell me there's no connection between his spirituality and the speakers in his church and what he actually believes. Please, I'm not going to buy that. I'll use my own common sense, which would tell me that if you're going to sit idly by for 20 years listening to this hatred, you agree with it. You agree with it or you get out of there. Now, I've gone into houses of worship that I've walked out of and never gone back to. Not because they were hateful, but because they were boring. I didn't like them because they were not spiritual enough for me. I went in and it was too bland. I went in and it was too liberal. Not hateful, and I left. But I certainly have never gone into a house of worship and heard pornographic hatred like this. This is pornographic hatred inside that church. Now, the Trinity Church has a history, by the way, of being anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and anti-American. Make no mistake about it. These two characters are not anomalies within that church. They are very much part and parcel of the belief system of that church. You check it out and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. As we are starting to learn about the geography of Obama's inner man through his spiritual advisors in this church, we are finding out that he is really, in essence, a kind of nice Farrakhan. A nice-looking Farrakhan, a nicer-sounding Farrakhan. But I believe his belief system wouldn't be more than 1 or 2 degrees off from Louis Farrakhan by what I hear. Never mind the spin, and never mind the spin doctors, and never mind the complicity of the media. This is a very dangerous situation we are in. The problem is we have no one on the other side to rally around. We have another thing, another problem on the other side. Now, we can continue to talk about this if you'd like. There are many other topics on michaelsavage.com. It's been a long weekend for me. Lead story, Barack Obama resigns from his church. Obama's church friends lap up anti-white sermons by the bucketful. Here I was robbed by Vanity Fair. It says, Bubba Trouble, the comeback id. That was first used by me on this show, The Savage Nation, a while ago. And so I'm starting to agree with Bill Clinton, by the way. And it wouldn't be for the first time. I agreed with Bill Clinton several times during his tenure, incidentally. Bill Clinton was probably more conservative than John McCain in some areas. If you actually look back, Bill Clinton, while he was president, was probably more conservative than John McCain. I'm telling you the truth. If you look at his actual policies, I mean, the times were different 10 years ago. Make no mistake about it. America's now moved so far to the left, you think everything is to the left now. 10 years ago, Bill Clinton would be conservative today. But this character, Todd Purdom, I don't know who he is, but Bill Clinton really got mad at him for attacking him in Vanity Fair. But the title of this guy, Purdom, whoever he may be, his article, The Comeback Id, was stolen from Michael Savage. So if he'll steal from an unknown talk show host named Michael Savage, a man with 10 million listeners, and he'll do anything, I guess, for a readership, and he is married to a creature that once worked for Bill Clinton, a thing called D.D. Myers, another spokesmouth of no significance whatsoever. But the point is that they're claiming that Bill Clinton is this, Bill Clinton is that, Bill Clinton did this, Bill Clinton did that, and whatever. Private jetting around with a skirt-chasing, scandal-tinged posse. He is a private citizen, Todd. What, are you jealous that you're not on the trip? I mean, Todd, is it because you're stuck at home with you-know-who that you're jealous of Bill, that his wife looks the other way? I mean, what is this? What motivated this, Mr. Purdom? And the least you could do was acknowledge that you stole the comeback in from Michael Savage. I won't sue you. Don't worry. You're not worth it. I don't need your money. Could you play something for me now? Play Misty for me or something. Play Somewhere Beyond the Sea, would you? I need Somewhere Beyond the Sea by Bobby Darin. It's where I want to be right now, but my boat's still in the yard. 4 weeks waiting for an exhaust pipe from Malaysia. It's kind of fun in a way. I mean, I don't know. Sitting up there on a wood platform. Very windy out here in the Bay Area. Choppy. The kind of weather I love to go out on the bay in. I'm not a seagoing sailor, don't get me wrong. What's that dangerous catch? I don't know how those guys do it. My God, what a life. Bobby! Here we are in the Savage Nation Monday. Countries like that. It's like you put a probe into a turkey and find that there's no life in it. All right, thanks, Bobby. No, every day I get up here and I put a probe into the nation and I feel nothing. Is it me or is it the nation? Has the nation become hypnotized into some kind of a psychotic breakdown? I've never seen a nation like this. There's no reaction inside this country anymore. Here's an example. All your life you were told weather is unpredictable. We all know weather is unpredictable within a certain range. Now they've changed the word weather to climate change. And from climate change, they went from weather, to global warming. From global warming, they went to climate change when the liars realized that it wasn't really warming up. Now it's climate change. Now, today, the Senate's arguing over this. A year ago, on March 9th, 07, Michael Savage interviewed Dr. Klaus, president of the Czech Republic, on the fakers in the global warming movement. And I actually found that interview with Dr. Klaus, who has offered to debate Don Corleone's grandson, Al Corleone, and Don Corleone's grandson, Al Corleone, refuses to debate the good Dr. Klaus, which is amazing to me. Do you know that several thousand scientists, you know how many? 31,000 scientists have signed a petition denying that man is responsible for global warming. 31,000 scientists, and Al Gore won't debate even one of them.
Savage.
American woman.
Where are you from?
New York City. Hillary State. The best nominee that's possible. And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. And I'm not going to shut my mouth anymore.
Now, contrary to the rumors going around, she is not related to Michael Savage. But it's interesting to me that she says what she believes to be true, and the media trips over themselves, fawning over her, treating her like somebody delicate. While those of us in talk radio who've said the same thing have been called every name under the sun, why is she suddenly right when we were wrong? Or were we right all along and finally America's waking up to the fact that we're right? I mean, this guy is a nobody. Think about what you're worshiping in him. He's an unknown senator who has not distinguished himself in any way. Let's start with the actualities. Has he cured cancer? Has he cured polio? Has he walked on water? Has he separated the Red Sea? What is this worship about this guy Obama? It's based on race and con and hype. That's all it is. He's not done anything. How can you put a nation in the hands of a man you don't know? How can you gamble like this? How can you gamble? You never heard the phrase, the devil you know? McCain, we know already. We know that the kind of devil he is. We know one thing is he's not a traitor. His father was a distinguished admiral. His grandfather was a distinguished admiral. I wish I could say the same about Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama's father was a runaround drunk who ditched him when he was a little kid. His adopted father also ditched him. We don't know who his grandfather is. We know that he has questionable relatives in Africa who are anti-American. Just check it out. Why would you put America in the hands of this man unless you are crazy or you hate the country and you'd like to see a revolution. That's how I see it. It's one man's opinion. Now let's go to the callers and see how you see it. New York, Della, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes. You know, I'm really shocked by your outrage at the sermons delivered by Reverend Flagey and Pastor Wright. I'm really outraged because you evidently do not understand the black evangelical movement. It is a place where injustices are spoken about. And it is a more of a theatrical type of a sermon delivered where certain injustices...
Please don't give me this rubbish about injustices. You know, I'm sick of hearing about injustices. It's been a long time ago with the injustices nonsense. Stop with the injustices already and carrying it around like a chip on your shoulder. Have you ever heard of a black man, a distinguished black man, who actually did something named Booker T. Washington?
Listen to me, Michael.
I asked you, do you know who Booker T. Washington is?
It's been half a century since the Civil
War. Do you know who Booker T. Washington is?
Yes.
There is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs, close quote, Booker T. Washington, circa 1911. What do you have to say about that, Della?
I have to say this. You do not want to recognize the rights that the blacks have earned by the civil rights legislation. You do not have a single elected...
You didn't hear a word I said. You're another blind mouse going over the cliff. You don't understand a race hustler when you hear it, do you?
Along comes somebody like Obama, who has earned...
He's a bummer. It's Obama. What do you mean Obama? Who is he? What has he done that makes him so wonderful? Explain it to me. What he's done. Tell me why I should vote for him. You have the floor. What has he done?
Sense to oppose the war, number one.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I asked you a question. If you're not going to answer me, you're off the show. You have no idea that you're being given a blessing right now to even be on my show. I know you're not capable of this, but I'm going to give you one more chance. Explain to me why I should vote for Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, the number one reason he is able to defeat the Clinton obscenity. That's the number one.
What are you talking about? What Clinton obscenity?
He is able to defeat the Clinton machine. He has been smart enough to know how to run a good campaign, and he has been...
So you mean because one corrupt machine beats another corrupt machine, that's reason for me to cross over and vote for a radical left-winger?
And he did it with good grace and good conscience. And
You're a classic worshiper of those who hate you. Now, what is it that happened to you as a young girl that made you hate your own race?
I'm still young, and things will...
You don't sound young. You sound like an old fool.
Experience.
I'm asking you, has this man cured polio? Has he walked on water? Has he solved any problem? Name one bill that Barack Hussein Obama has sponsored in the Senate that you could be proud of. Can you name one bill?
Well, he is now supporting the veterans bill, which allows...
You say he's now supporting a lot of things because he knows that he's running for office. But what did he actually do while he was in the Senate? The answer is nothing. But you want to support him because you hate your own race. And you want to support him because you're a classic New York liberal who is guilty. And you think that the rest of America feels the way you do. But you know, Della, west of the Hudson River, people are a lot more sane than are the smog eaters of Manhattan.
Look, you...
Have a nice day. You look. Go call go call one of the commie stations and don't bother me ever again. Obama is a nobody. He's an invention. The reason the liberals are rallying around him is because they hate themselves and they're guilty. That's all there is to it. Now leave me alone with him already. If you want to call me and support Obama, tell me why, other than the fact that he's not white. You have any other reason to support him other than he's not a white man? Now, let's play another selected soundbite from Senator Obama's church. In case you missed it, let's hear the clip five.
to call the best hope we've had in America for a mighty long time a kid with a fairy tale.
The best hope we've had in America. So liberals live on hope. Hope springs eternal for the liberal. Long disappointed in themselves, their lives in ruins. In their old age, they rally around a fiction, hoping that he will save them from their own morass. Hoping against hope that this invention, this fiction, will save them from their own collapsed existence. Now, this is even a man who supports Louis Farrakhan and Reverend Wright. Listen to clip 6 if you missed it.
I would not allow them to tear down Medgar. I would not allow them to tear down Malcolm. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back while you tear down Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you seek to reduce Jeremiah Wright, who's one of the greatest biblical scholars?
Turn the lunatic off. Now, it's not that there's a white man pandering to a black audience for money. That's happened for a long time now. That is nothing new about that. What's interesting to me is why the congregants lap up this America hatred. Why so many well-off liberals in Manhattan hate the country. Liberals who have done so well in this country who hate America. We don't understand it. I have a friend of mine who is a doctor in the military who says he goes to meetings, and at these meetings are other guys in the National Guard, some of whom are doctors, and they spend their entire lunch hour, these white men, hating America. And he says to them, hey, quit it. Why do you hate this country so much? Look how well you've done. Your grandfather came over here, he said, as an immigrant. Look how well you've done. And they give him a blind stare. And, of course, there is no answer as to why they hate America, these white liberals. They've been brainwashed. They just hate the country because they're traitors through their core. Their bones are not even white. Their bones are not even black. Their bones are red. They're red through and through. And I am telling you, you're fighting for the survival of this country. The only sad note here is that we have no candidate to rally around, that we have a bland old white guy who's probably going to win because of these sermons by the reverends, only if the schmucks running McCain's campaign stop sabotaging him, and that's a big only if. I believe that McCain is being sabotaged from within by Democrat operatives, only McCain is not even understanding what's happening to him. He's been so long in the tooth. He is so long in the tooth that he doesn't even know what's being done to him and what he's saying anymore. But the fact of the matter is, if they play these sound bites, McCain wins by a landslide. Will they play them? I doubt it. And so right now, America is in a very, very tenuous place. The white liberals cannot wait for the revolution they've dreamed of all their lives. They actually believe that if Obama wins, not only will this be a new America, but they themselves will transcend their lifetime of sadness. They will almost transcend the zoological order and become angelic. They think that they will leave, they will have an out-of-body experience if Obama wins. They will reach a certain spiritual climax that they've never achieved, even in the hippie years of the Lower East Side. What with all the drug, sex, and rock and roll, they never got near that spiritual climax that they sense they can have with this fictional husband called Barack Hussein Obama, the man they've been looking for all their lives. Oh, there's deep psychology here. Not being a psychologist, I can only chip away at the glacier of stupidity and insanity, but I will leave it to a more brilliant man than I to actually do a detailed analysis of why so many old hags, like the one who just called the show, are so enamored of a fiction as they are with this man, Barack Hussein Obama. No matter what comes out about him or about those he associates with, they will not see the truth. Well, but God sees the truth but waits. I've known that for a long time. Now let's go on to the other callers here on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone. Or shall we go back to the lady, the crazy lady, excuse me, the tirade, who got mad that Obama stole the elect, whatever, the problem. Listen to clip 3, what she says, the nutcase.
I can be called white, but you can't be called black. That's not my America. It's equality for all of us. It's about time we all stood up for it.
That's right.
I'm no second-class citizen. And damn the Democrats.
Where are you from?
Good for you.
I'm from Manhattan. I just said what my name is.
Good for you. Hear what she said? I can be called white, but you can't be called black. The woman has guts. I mean, she's saying the king has no clothes. So finally, the little men in the media, the Lilliputian, said, Oh, who is she? Well, she's a Democrat. We can have her on, right? Right, Wolfie? We can have her on because she's not one of those mean right-wing males on the radio. She's a Democrat, and she's a woman. We can have her on, right, Wolfie? Oh, how sick. How pathetic. Thank God I was away for half a week. I didn't have to put up with this. But you're going to have to put up with it now till next November. 1-800-449-8255. There are other topics, but I think this is all you want to talk about on the Savage Nation. Rock pioneer Bo Diddley died at 89. All right. Fine. There's nothing to say about that. Here's a story we just put up called Kids Game Has Rich People Die. It's called Planet Slayer. We found it from the Australian Broadcasting. Someone just sent it to me before the show. And it teaches children who come from wealthy families to commit suicide at age 7 or 8. Yep. It's going on. It's going on right under your eyes. And here's one that the media didn't tell you about. On MichaelSavage.com, on the right column, Nancy Pelosi slandered our troops and said that the surge didn't accomplish its goal in Iraq, but the success in Iraq is due to the goodwill of the Iranian people, the Iranians. Now, that's called treason in my book. But, of course, to liberals who worship a fiction, you can understand how Nancy Pelosi can also get away with murder. That is murdering the reputation of our troops. I'll be right back. Savage.
Is still America's greatest addiction. I also believe that America is the greatest sin against God.
Whoa.
If the greatest command is to love, then the sin against love must be the greatest sin against God, who is love and who calls us to love one another.
All right, that's Father Michael Flager speaking at Obama's Trinity Baptist Church. And we know that the good Senator Obama has finally resigned from his church. I think it's too little too late, because there's a lot more to this, which is why did the congregation lap up this hatred for so many years while Obama sat there? Did he lap it up? Did he ever walk out of any of these sermons? Did he ever object to any of the sermons, or did he incorporate these words into his inner man? I don't know, but I would be very curious as to why you wouldn't ask this question. Now, what if a right-wing candidate sat in a church that said things like that? Do you think that the midstream media, and the reason I refer to them as the midstream media is, well, think of a going to your doctor when you're sent into a little room with a cup. That's exactly what these people are. They're not doing their job. Their job is to be the watchdog. They become the lapdog of the far left, because they are the far left. They're not actually the lapdog of the far left. They are the far left. They're leading the country into outright worldwide, you could call it socialism, you could call it fascism, you could call it communism, you could call it everything except Americanism, because everything they stand for is anti-American. Now, if you want a black revolutionary running the country, or if you want a black revolutionary surrounded by black revolutionaries and white revolutionaries running the country, I think you're in a very small minority. The problem is the other side will not articulate who Obama is and who his friends are. There's your problem. If the other side clearly articulated who Obama is and who his friends are and what their belief system is, it's an 80-20. McCain wins 80-20. The problem is the Republicans are clueless old country club men who are so fat and happy they're oinking on their backs in the sun with a pair of golf clubs in one hand and something else in their other, which you can fill in the blank, whatever that you want to put in there. You know, use your own imagination. 1-800-449-8255. Now, why should we say that the preachers are not Obama's beliefs? don't we have a history in this country of rejecting candidates who associate with people who are deemed to be bad people? Didn't some people lose their positions in this country simply because of one word that a friend of theirs said? Didn't somebody lose a position in the Senate because they associated with someone who went to Bob Jones University or something? Wasn't that a big issue when the vermin in the midstream media made such a big thing out of it? The little men, the Lilliputians. The Lilliputians, the Lilliputians, the little Lilliputians are killing us. Philadelphia, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you know, about 30 years ago, I was in, used to live in South Philadelphia. This lady said, and I don't know if it's an Italian-American expression or not, it's show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. And I'm getting to believe, I'm tipping my hat to Louis Farrakhan for his, looks like his stealth candidate.
I think Obama is a smoother Louis Farrakhan. That's what I'm starting to see here. Because the ideology is very similar, is it not?
Well, it is to me. I mean, you can't have these friends, this father, you know, whatever his name, so-called priest and his so-called minister, saying the things they are, and he's hanging around with them for 20 years, and he doesn't think that.
Well, let's put another. Let's say we have a white candidate from New York. Let's invent a candidate, and he's of Italian-American heritage, a straight-up Boy Scout, but all of his friends hang around in certain social clubs on Mulberry Street or did so. Or he was seen in photographs with guys who were in the underworld. You want to put it that way. Tell me if they would say, well, you can't tell a man by his friends. Do you think the midstream media would do that?
Absolutely not. Because
no, they'd say, oh, look who he was with. He was with Joey this and Jimmy that and Eddie L. And Jimmy's connected to Y and Joey's connected to Z. And they would smear the campaign according to his associations. They would call them his associates. Well, why can't we then say that these reverends depict the inner Obama? Why must we sit here like dummies and say there's no relationship? There's a clear relationship. He sat there for 20 years. Obviously, he soaked it up like a sponge. Has he ever rejected it? We don't know that, do we?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Allow them to tear down Medgar. I would not allow them to tear down Malcolm. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back while you tear down Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you seek to reduce Jeremiah Wright, who's one of the greatest biblical scholars this nation has, to a 30-second sound beat and try to demonize him and trivialize him? You cannot do that. We won't allow you to do that. Because when you take out him, you take out all of us.
Blue Monday. I'm high in Blue Monday.
Hysteria reigns. Oh, yeah.
He'll come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday.
Well, racism is alive and well in America, thanks to Obama's friends in the church. You know, I thought that the issue of race, I knew it was there, but it was quietly going away. Integration had worked. Various programs had worked. The younger, more productive members of the African-American community basically don't think that way. I've run into enough of these young guys to know that. I just know they don't think that way. I know it. They're embarrassed by these people. But to get a white hustler like that in the church doing it, literally getting into the role of the outrage when you know he himself isn't outraged. What's he all of a sudden in the outrage business? What, he himself had an outrage too? So you have to, at a certain point, step back and take a deep breath and laugh at it all. Which is, I'm going to direct you for a moment, those of you who have a computer, please go to michaelsavage.com, bottom right. I'm not selling you anything. There is a new photograph of Michael Savage, me, in a robe next to friezes of, I guess, Buddhist statues. It was at a property we stayed at in Maui last week. I have come back, not a changed man, but closer to my original self. Because listening to this and looking at this, at a certain point, it's only Jonathan Swift can do it service. And since I'm not Jonathan Swift and don't want to wind up in the tower of a madhouse, I will let you be the folks in the tower of the madhouse called America, because we're all going to go crazy if we listen to any more of this, which is why I want to play a little bit more of it. I want to drive all of you crazy so you finally understand how crazy our political system has become, that an unknown fantasy named Barack Hussein Obama, who is after all of white parentage and black parentage, who is suddenly now all black inside in his mind, taking on all of the mentality of, and it's his right to do so, by the way. He can do whatever he wants, but he did have white grandparents who didn't abandon him. And I know it's embarrassing to say this, but his Kenyan father did abandon him, and his Indonesian father abandoned him, and it was the white grandparents who raised him. Now, why he identifies with one race or another is his business. It's not ours. But for so many people to be getting involved in this is amazing to me. And to be thinking this guy is the Messiah. Is he the Messiah? Has he walked on water, cured polio, cured cancer? What has he done? Cured blindness? I don't know what he's done. I can't imagine the hysteria. The only thing going for him is that he's not 100% white. And that qualifies him as a better man to the midstream Lilliputians. Lilliputians. So I ask you to please look at me in the robe on michaelsavage.com next to the frieze of two or three Buddhas next to the lamp. That's the newly improved Michael Savage, more philosophical and more withdrawn. I would say aloof. I have to become more aloof if I'm to survive, because otherwise I'm going to have to wind up with a loofah and wind up like the loofah man, and I can't do that. I mean, if it's a choice between a loofah and a loof, I'll take a loof. He can have the loofah. I don't know whether he's rejuvenating the green on the leprechaun at this moment, but I wish him well. But truthfully, I'd rather be aloof than work with the loofah. On Saturday night, by the way, the mixed martial arts on CBS was a milestone in network television. In that, did anyone see it? I think some of you watched it because it's network. I would imagine it was a hugely watched thing. This could save CBS. They're in the garbage can since they took Katie Couric and put her in the driver's seat. I mean, I know girls fly, but she hasn't flown too well in the driver's seat of CBS News as well. In fact, she drove the show into the ground. She nosedived it, not because she's a woman, but because she's a left-wing harridan, and consequently, the show died. See, America generally doesn't like left-wing harridans, which is why Hillary's not that popular, incidentally. She's a left-wing harridan. There's another left-wing harridan named Nancy Pelosi, who really is a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. You know, we don't talk about her much. But last week she was giving an interview to the local newspaper here, and she said something that is such a slander to our troops that you must listen to what Nancy Pelosi said. She owes the troops an apology. Listen to this.
Some of the success of the surge is at the goodwill of the Iranians. They decided in Basra.
Whoa! She's taking the side of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Wait, can you stop the mute? So she's now taking the side of the Iranians who've been sending in the munitions to kill our men, the IEDs. Now, I know that the Democrats have had great involvement in IUDs over the years. In fact, they came to power because of their obsession with IUDs, and I'm sure they know an awful lot about IUDs. But I don't think that these women in the Democrat National Committee know much about IEDs, because for her to make a remark like this is disgusting. How could she say that the success of the U.S. military in Iraq is owing to the goodwill of the Iranians when the Iranians have been killing our men and mutilating them? This is disgusting. She slandered and demeaned the successes of our men in Iraq. by saying that. She gave the credit to the enemy themselves. Nobody reported this. Nobody at NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, or Fox, as far as I know, broadcasted it. Of course, the old York Times didn't broadcast this either. But we played it for you on the Savage Nation because you have to know what the Democrat Party has become. It's a party of crackpots and anti-American lunatics. 1-800-449-8255 phone number. I was a Democrat when I was a kid, when I didn't know any better. But as you grow up, I became an independent 20 years ago. You know, neither party. I'm not a registered Republican. I've been a registered independent since the 80s, I think. I'm not sure. I don't even know. But don't confuse me with a Republican. Please, don't insult me like that. But if it's a choice between a country club Republican like McCain, a sellout like McCain, and an outright revolutionary like Obama, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go with McCain, unless he does something even worse, McCain, and I sit the election out and say, let's take it on. Let's let it all hang out, man. Let's let it all go to pieces. Because if the Republicans want to destroy America, all they got to do is continue to run McCain the way they've been running him. If they want to destroy the country and give it to a band of revolutionaries, all they got to do is keep that old man on the same track that he's on. Now I'll go to you, the callers, because you know what you want to say. I know what I want to say. And we'll make patty cakes together. Has anyone seen the picture of me on the website? You know, I looked at the statistics on website viewing. It's very interesting because it parallels radio, not in terms of numbers, but by any means. I mean, I have 10 million listeners a week, 8 to 10 million roughly in radio. The website gets about 150,000 roughly page views and uniques a day, whatever that comes out to be. But if you look at the statistics, you find out exactly. It's funny how it parallels radio. Monday and Friday are the lowest viewership on the website. Wednesday is the highest, and Tuesday and Thursday are about the same, just like radio. So Wednesday is the highest listenership in radio. I guess it has something to do with people traveling or whatever. They tune in more on Wednesday. I don't know, but it's amazingly interesting. It's like 20% higher on Wednesday than Monday. And data, you know, is consistent now on the website as in radio. It's very interesting to me. As someone who studied statistics and epidemiology, I've always studied statistics in radio, and now I'm studying it on the internet with the website. Anyway, forget about it. Just interesting to me. What would you like to talk about? Would you like to talk about the fiery preachers? You want to call them fiery. I call them hate mongers, whatever. Let's go to Dallas. Keisha, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael Savage, you are the race hustler, and you need to be taken off of the air. You are spewing paranoia about Barack Obama that is ridiculous, and it's just...
Wait, hold it, honey. I need to be taken off the air? So you're confirming just what I said. You're supporting a black revolutionary who would try to take white men off the air who won't worship him. You've just confirmed our worst fears.
You are the race hustler, and that's why what you're saying right now is the reason why good people get killed, get hurt, because you get to these country hicks, backwoods people.
Oh, country hicks now. White people are country hicks. Keisha, so all white people who don't like Barack Hussein Obama is a country, all of them are country hicks?
No, that's what you are reaching. You are trying to reach these people.
So the 8 to 10 million people I have a week are all country hicks? You know that for a fact? You know, you're a racist woman. You actually are exhibiting exactly what we fear about Obama. You hate white people, don't you? You think all white people who won't buy into his left-wing lies are racists. My friend, he's a left-wing revolutionary, Keisha. Do you understand what his voting record is?
Your proof. What is your proof that he's a revolutionary?
What is this? Oh, would you like to hear any of the proof? Are you capable of understanding it? Let us start with his friend, Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright's rhetoric is that of black liberation theology. It is also anti-American. Don't you understand that, Keisha? Or do you agree with Reverend Wright?
That is not Obama. That is not
Obama. Oh, it's not Obama. Then why did he sit in that church for 20 years?
You have a record of him sitting there every Sunday? No, you don't. Do you have a record of Obama?
Did he ever walk out of that church when there were anti-American tirades? Do you have a record that your Obama walked out of that church when Reverend Wright was giving those hateful speeches? Have you ever seen anything written by Obama saying that years ago he heard it and it hurt him and he walked out on it? You have any record of that? Don't you think we as Americans have a right to examine and sift and sort our candidates the way this has been done since the beginning of this country was founded? Look into every aspect of their life to make sure that we don't have buyer's remorse after they're elected?
One time out of 20 years, that's the only soundbite that you have. How do you think that Obama sat there for 20 years? He never said it until now.
Now, what about Booker T. Washington's statement written in 1911 about race hustlers? Do you know who Booker T. Washington might be?
You're a race hustler.
I asked you, who is Booker T. Washington? You're such an educated woman. Who is Booker T. Washington?
You tell me who Booker T. Washington is.
Why should I tell you? No, exhibit your intelligence since you're so full of yourself. Tell me who Booker T. Washington is since you know so much about the African-American experience. Who is Booker T. Washington?
The African-American experience is not to say, I'm sitting in this church every Sunday and this person is saying...
I asked you a question. If you can't answer it, I'm going to hang up on you. Who is Booker T. Washington? Who is he?
Who is he? Why are you running?
You don't know who he is. You're just a hater. You're just a hater, and that's all you are. You're exhibiting every reason why Obama's not going to win, because we know that women like you are like Madame Defarge sitting there with your knitting needle thinking that you're going to get something for nothing. You think you're going to take what's ours? Because we're white and you're black and we owe it to you? Isn't that what's really in your mind, Keisha, that we owe you something?
Why do you think I'm black? Did I tell you?
Do you want to get down to the nitty-gritty? Do I owe you anything?
Did I tell you I was black?
What do I owe you, Keisha? What do I owe you? What do I owe you?
Oh, do you think I'm black? Do you think I'm black?
I don't know what you are, but what do I owe you? Tell me what I owe you.
You're the race hustler. Prove it.
I asked you, what do I owe you? What do I owe you? You know what I owe you? Zero. I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. You know why? Because you have to earn it on your own. It's an equal playing field. And if you can't play on that equal playing field, don't blame everybody on earth for the fact that you can't play on an equal playing field. You've had affirmative action. You've had welfare. What more do you want? You want me to give you my house and my firstborn? Will that make you happy?
I mean, I'm black, you
right? Have a nice day, idiot. Now, I'm going to tell you again that Booker T. Washington is a certifiably great man. He actually founded an all-black university. And he wrote an interesting piece in 1911 that obviously Keisha didn't get in her education on the Jerry Springer Show, nor the Oprah Show. And he wrote this: there is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, comma, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays, Keisha. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances, comma, because they do not want to lose their jobs. Close quote, Booker T. Washington, African-American, circa 1911. So nearly 100 years ago, there were African-Americans who said, enough of this rubbish about racism, bury it. But obviously, Keisha never heard of Booker T. Washington. She was too busy listening to Reverend Wright. I'll be back.
Savage.
I was pleased to join Senators Lieberman and Kyle in backing an amendment calling for the designation of the Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization responsible for killing American troops in Iraq. Over three quarters of the Senate supported this obvious step, but not Senator Obama. He opposed this resolution because its support for countering Iranian influence in Iraq was, he said, quote, a wrong message, not only to the world, but also to the region.
Okay, now here's where John McCain is finally starting to get tough. Thank God the Navy fighter pilot is still alive inside of him. So three quarters of the Senate backed an amendment calling the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization, rightly so, but not Barack Hussein Obama. I wonder why. I wonder where Obama's loyalties lie. Now, again, I'm not going to back down no matter how many race haters call this show. right through the election. I'm going to play right. I'm going to play this other reverend. I'm never letting it go because you better know what you're buying into. You better know what you're buying. Because when the wheels fall off that car, don't come back to me and say that I didn't warn you. Every other candidate going back to George Washington was sifted and sorted before you voted on him. And Obama is no different. He will not be escaping this.
Government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
I guess we can tell a man by the company he keeps, and certainly we should be interested in what church he attends on a regular basis. After all, Obama's not a lapsed Christian. He's a churchgoer. Says he went there for 20 years. I mean, personally, I don't care what the man does religiously, but in this case, it's very important. Because if he's going to go to a church that sounds like an offshoot, a Christian version of Louis Farrakhan's tirades against Jews in America, I'm sorry, my friends. I'm going to let you know about it. Now, for a caller to call and say I should be taken off the air because I'm playing these sound bites and they have nothing to do with Obama is ludicrous. They're very much part of the detailed examination that every candidate goes through in the United States of America who wants to be president. I think it's a very good thing that we examine our candidates to ferret out any potential embarrassments or worse downstream. After all, we don't want to find out that, let's say, a white candidate went to a church where Hitler was revered, do we? Would we want to go to a white guy went to a church where they had a revolving portrait of Adolf Hitler behind the Messiah? Is that what you'd like to hear? No, you'd like to find out if that's the church he went to. Well, in this case, he was there for 20 years. And so if you think that your education is complete because you've listened to Oprah Winfrey, and now you think Obama's the Messiah, then you have a complete fool's education. Here we had a caller a little while ago who was calling me every name under the sun. I asked her if she knew who Booker T. Washington was. Obviously, that wasn't included in the great works of Oprah Winfrey. I guess Oprah left Booker T. Washington out of her great books collection. I'm sure Fidel Castro's complete torture works are in there. The complete torture works of Che Guevara would be in the great books. But Booker T. Washington didn't make it to Oprah's show, so the poor caller from Texas never heard of him. But he was on to the Race Hustlers back in 1911. He said we had a civil war. The civil war is over. Let it go already. Now then we had the 1960s, another revolution in America, where the Democrats gave us the Great Society, which was Mao Tse-Tung Light, where we had social engineering, where unconnected white males were put aside and put on shelves for a while so the ACLU could make certain that other races moved ahead. For better or for worse, it's 20, 25 years later, and other races have moved ahead to the detriment of the unconnected white male. And you could say there are benefits and then there are deficits to that, and you'd be right if you said that. But how much is enough? What exactly must be done to satisfy the race hustlers now? What must be done? Apparently, there's no end to what must be done to the grievance folks, the people in the grievance business. Apparently, there's no end to it. They always walk around saying that they want something for nothing. Now, the reason this is all coming up is because Reverend Wright and this other one, Flegel, whatever his name is, Flieger, are examples of this. And I'm going to keep talking about it till America, at least my small audience of America, comes to understand the danger they are in, that America's soul right now is up for sale. And if you want to sell your soul to the radical revolutionary left, go ahead, then vote for Obama. Then you're voting for revolution. And you're liable to get the revolution, but you're liable to be damaged by the revolution. Don't assume the revolution's going to help you, all of you revolutionaries. You may wind up losing. For example, maybe you're sitting at a condominium up in Manhattan right now. You're a good liberal. You've got plenty of money. But you know that Obama's a better choice than anyone on earth. He's the Messiah himself. And you know that if they clean up Washington with Obama, the revolutionary, life will be better. You're liable to lose your condominium. It's liable to be like Dr. Zhivago. What if the government decrees that you have to put illegal aliens in your bedroom? They say, well, you have two bedrooms and you're one person. You're a selfish person. The government decrees that according to the rules of the new Obama administration, any spare bedrooms must be occupied by illegal alien families because they're or homeless people, better yet. Would you like that? Would you be willing to use that spare bedroom in your condominium for the homeless in Manhattan? Of course you wouldn't. So be careful what's coming out of your mouth. This is like verbal diarrhea, this love for this fantasy. But then it's the left now salivating at the thought, finally, they can bring it all down, girl. Finally, they think they smell victory, don't they? Finally, the ACLU will have the world in their own image, so they think. And that's why I fight every day, because I don't want the world in the image of these atheistic communists. Now, who else does Obama associate with who's dangerous? Why, there's the little problem of Bill Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. Oh, yeah, that's been swept under the rug by Wolfie and the little men, the Lilliputians in the media. But William Ayers would have an association with this revolutionary jailbird by any white candidate would have sunk the candidacy within a day. But apparently it doesn't touch the great Obama. Why? Answer, you can figure it out yourself. So again, go to michaelsavage.com. There's a nice photograph of Obama as a young man in Africa in native garb, just so you get a full feeling for the man's background. He's entitled to wear any native garb he wants. He could put a Sufi headdress on. He could believe it or not believe it. It doesn't matter. But I think it's important that these folks get to understand the full picture of the candidate. Again, we have to keep asking the same question. It's embarrassing to have to ask it, but I'll ask it again. If his name was Barry Obama, during the years that he was in Hawaii being raised by his white grandparents, and then he chose to take on the Muslim name of Barack Hussein Obama, why is it not a fair question to ask when did he identify as a Muslim? Or does he identify as a Muslim? Now, he says he's a Christian. Is it important to ask about his religious identity? You betcha. You betcha, because you see, there are a group of people on Earth, several million of them, called radical Islamists, who kind of blew up the World Trade Center. Remember those funny two buildings in Manhattan? And they blew up that funny building in Washington, D.C. called the Pentagon. And they're killing our troops and maiming our troops, and they'd like to take over this country. And they're still here, and they're still everywhere, by the way, on the planet. They're killing Jews in Israel. They're killing Filipinos in the Philippines. They're killing Hindu Indians in India, all over supposed grievances, and they're called radical Islamists. So if a man is in any way sympathetic to them, we need to know it. That's part of the rigors of running for office in this country. No one would even ask this question about John McCain. We know where his loyalties lie. Navy pilot, naval aviator, 5 years tortured by the Vietnamese, he paid his price. No one questions the man's patriotism or loyalty. We have every right. In fact, we have a duty to question the loyalty of Barack Hussein Obama. There are too many questionable elements about the man's background, if you don't mind. And I don't see why these are not fair questions. I have no idea why people would get upset when we ask these questions. So I'll continue to ask these questions because I think they're very important. I don't want to have buyer's remorse come November 8th, 2008. Well, it'll be January 1st before we get the executive orders, maybe January 2nd. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number, michaelsavage.com, website. What else do we have for your fodder? Poor Mr. Kennedy is in surgery. I know this is a sensitive topic. He's actually come out, they say, successful. I hope they are. And again, it is time to evaluate the real Ted Kennedy record, because he has become, instead of the raging left-wing lion, to be nice to him, instead of being the raging left-wing fanatic that he has been in his entire political career, he's now known as Ted, just as our Treasury Secretary is no longer Henry Paulson, but Hank, just as Sanford Berger became Sandy Berger. PR agency said, call him Sandy. It'll lessen the impact of his alleged misdeeds inside the National Archives. So now that Mr. Kennedy is known as Ted, we all wish him well. We wish him a speedy recovery. But it's certainly an apt moment to look at the real Kennedy record, because everyone is now focusing on Ted. Now, what is Ted Kennedy's actual record? He voted no on recommending a constitutional ban on flag desecration, June 2006. He voted no on a constitutional ban of homosexual marriage, June of 06. He voted yes to add homosexuality to the definition of hate crimes. He voted yes with the homosexual mafia to expand hate crimes to include sexual orientation. He voted yes to set aside 10% of highway funds for minorities and women, even if they're not qualified to apply for the job. And we all know that many of these bids are rigged, where people use women and minorities as fronts to get the bidding. You want to check into it? You know it's a fact of reality. He voted no on an amendment to prohibit flag burning. In other words, he said, burn, baby, burn. He voted no on banning affirmative action, hiring with federal funds. In other words, he's in favor of affirmative action. Old Ted voted no on declaring English the official language of the United States government in June of 07, meaning he said English is not the official language of the U.S. government. That's Ted. And then to cap it all off, as near as May of 08, which is like yesterday or this last, May of 06, sorry, good old Ted voted yes to allow illegals to participate in Social Security. He also voted against the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, which, as you well know, is infanticide. He is also one of only five senators who have publicly announced support for homosexual marriage. So that's the true Kennedy record, the true Ted record of Ted. Again, is this wrong of me to bring it up? Sure, if you're a worshiper of all of those things, and if you're a radical left-wing revolutionary socialist who loves the ACLU, you'll claim I have no right to even mention his record. You could say anything you want. We live in a free country. And since we live in a free country, et cetera, and so on. Now we'll go to the callers. Kentucky Gail, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Listen, Michael, you are dealing with hate that hate produced. That is a very difficult thing to eradicate. And especially since modern-day social scientists are telling black people in droves that they cannot even be racist because they lack power. But I'm encouraging you to hang in there, because this is precisely what the black voter needs to hear. This is a bait-and-switch situation if ever there was one. And the real problem...
Wow, you got it right. You got it exactly right. Now, you know, Gail, I don't know if you've ever heard my show before, but I'm on record and I've said it before. You give me a black candidate, she could be a black woman. If she supports my country, borders, language, culture, and she's got a history that I can feel viscerally and know to be true, I'll vote for her. I don't care about the race. I care about this man's left-wing politics. And you're right about bait and switch. They're using this man to run revolutionary socialism down our throats.
To prove it to you with one specific anecdotal example. Here in Kentucky, before Barack Obama appeared one time, his point person was requested to ask him to look into a situation wherein we were asking him to denounce certain Kentucky politicians that had been involved in allegations regarding the cover-up of sex abuse. The response was unbelievable. They totally ignored it, said, hey, we're not going to get into that. But the reality is that it's time for the black voter to start connecting the dots, to start processing these facts, drawing reasonable conclusions, and making a reasonable application to their lives. Bottom line.
I can't do it. All I can do is say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's use old-fashioned common sense. We used to hear phrases, where there's smoke, there's fire. This is not the first preacher with this kind of rhetoric in a church that he sat in for 20 years. It's the second, and there may be others. Doesn't this tell us that where there is smoke, there is fire, Gail?
Well, undoubtedly. And I find that the people who make those kind of idiotic statements like, well, how do you know he was there on a particular Sunday or whatever? Those are people who have no relationship with a church, because people join churches because they reflect their point of view.
Wow.
Bottom line.
You know, you make a very interesting point. Let me make another relative point to someone else's religion and politics. Joseph Lieberman is Jewish, and he's Orthodox Jewish, which is very interesting. Now, his religion came up, but it never became an issue. Remember that. And he was never really put down by anybody. And you know why? Because No one heard in his synagogue rhetoric like this. They knew that he was an Orthodox Jew, happened to be a big supporter of the military and of America. He was rather conservative in his beliefs, which is why he became an independent. He had to get away from that left-wing Democrat party up in Connecticut. What I'm getting at is, even though he is of a minority religion called Jewish and of a minority element of the Jewish people, which is the Orthodox people, nobody made an issue of Senator Lieberman at the time. Nobody mocked him. I never heard a word about it, because there was no such anti-American rhetoric coming out of his synagogue. While the opposite, I mean, saying, well, the same thing can't be said for Obama.
I mean, it's indisputable that, you know, when you the empty wagon makes the loudest noise. That's the bottom line. And the way that these people have presented themselves as the ones who are going to be neutral on race and transcend race, it is absolutely bait and switch. You know,
isn't it unbelievable? You know, I thought this race stuff was behind us. I am feeling we're slipping back and degenerating in this country because of Obama and his minions who want to shut everyone up who raise any question about his politics. They immediately turn it into about his race. You ask one question about the man's left-wing leanings, and right away you're called racist. They start screaming racist from the highest mountain. No, I'm going to keep asking about his left-wing leanings and his left-wing voting record. If they want to turn it into a race issue, they're going to damage all of America, and they're going to make this into a country that was healed in a way. Gail, look, I travel the country. I see the integration that's occurred in my lifetime. It is a better country in so many ways. But this is going to set this country back, Gail.
Already has. I mean, it's breaking up families, even. You know, as an African-American who has labored strenuously for my people, and I'm going to tell you something, Mike. I know where Keisha's coming from, okay? I know where all of these black races, and that's just what I'm going to call them, are coming from. Because I'm telling you, I was probably 22 years old or so before I actually had to acknowledge that all white men were not devils. Okay.
No, I'm not laughing at you. It's just that the truth, you know, when people tell you the truth in this country the way you just did, it's like a relief, like pressure goes out of your chest. Gail, please stay with us from Kentucky here on the Savage Nation. I want to hear more of your wit and wisdom when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Still America's greatest addiction. I also believe that America is the greatest sin against God.
Whoa.
If the greatest command is to love, then the sin against love must be the greatest sin against God, who is love and who calls us to love one another.
Well, I don't hear any love in that. I guess he's sinning when he's telling us that America is a bad country and is a sin. That's Father Michael Flegger, white man, whipping up a crowd at Obama's Trinity Baptist Church and, again, defending Reverend Wright and Louis Farrakhan, which he's entitled to do. And Obama's even entitled to agree with him, by the way. I just wish he'd come out and tell us which way the wind blows. I mean, I'd like to know which way the wind blows. I'm a weatherman here on the Savage Nation, and I've got to tell you which way the wind blows. And I sense some strange winds that are blowing in the wind right now. So there it is. It's going to get hotter rather than cooler before the election season. We all know that summer is coming. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We know the global warming is baloney. We know that 31,000 scientists have signed a petition denying that man is responsible for global warming. Now, you can't say all of them work for the oil companies. You can't say all of them are crackpots. You can't say all of them are wrong. Why is it that Al Gore won't debate any one of them? It's interesting to me that you'd believe Al Gore the same way you believe Obama. The same way you believe Al Gore categorically that there's global warming and we're causing it and the world's coming to an end and the sky is falling, is the same way you believe Barack Hussein Obama is going to cure polio, cure cancer, make the seas part, cure autism, brain cancer, you name it. After all, he said he can do it. Al Gore says that we're doing one thing, and the other one says he's going to do another thing. And there are so many foolish, brainwashed Americans that I'm shocked they can even tie their own shoes.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hope we've had in America for a mighty long time, a kid with a fairy tale. Calling in 2008 a black man a kid is like 1958 calling him a boy. If that was unacceptable, and this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for someone to say he would not be where he is if he were not black. And it's evil to say that because his middle name is Hussein, that's connected to terrorists. And they would be dancing around the Middle East if he got elected president.
And they will not only attack you if you try to point out what's going on in white America, U.S. of KKKA.
It's a blue Monday for the Hussein Obama campaign. Not for me, it isn't. Make it louder. I don't care one way or the other.
I'm so tired, got no time to play.
It is the Savage Nation, and we're talking about the shock running through the political body politic as a result of further disclosures of the psyche of the church that Obama was sitting in for 20 years. People say, well, how do you know he believes any of this? Well, people are known by the company they keep. You know, they say that where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's use common sense and stop getting too esoteric about it. If a white candidate sat in a church where a Ku Klux Klan preacher came in and gave a fiery sermon that was so shockingly racist the way these sermons are, I don't think that candidate would be viable for more than an hour. Why, the midstream media, the little men, the Lilliputians in suits, the department store dummies who know how to put on ties, they'd get so outraged that white candidate wouldn't be, well, he'd be toast within an hour. But not when it comes to Obama, because there's a double standard, as you well know. He's above the law for one reason and one reason only. And that's because white liberals want him to be above the law. But, you know, look, this is not going away. It's going to get bigger and bigger and higher and higher and hotter and hotter. New York, Walter, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, please?
Michael, it must be really infuriating for you to keep playing these clips after clips, and I keep on seeing the national polls, and Barack Obama still seems to be gaining even further ahead against John McCain.
Well, it doesn't infuriate me at all, because the polls are created by fakers in the media. As you well know, they're usually wrong about everything. Most polls have been wrong so far as I can tell. I've checked them for years. They've usually predicted what they want the outcome to be, and they're usually wrong. They will tell you, for example, here in the state of California, there's a fake poll that's run by the Democrat Party called a field poll. That's the best I can figure out who they are. They always tell you that most Californians support homosexual marriage. That's not true. When it becomes a ballot initiative, homosexual marriage will go down to defeat the way it did before. What will we do, look back and say the poll was wrong? It's the same with Obama. The polls are generated by people who work for these candidates, or at least it's wish fulfillment fantasy on the part of the pollsters trying to project their own view upon the population.
You know, Michael.
Walter, I have never been polled, incidentally, and I don't know anyone who has ever been polled. I've never met anyone who's been polled. In the 15 years I've been in the media, I've never been polled. Nor I know a wide circle of people. No one's ever been polled. Generally, conservatives don't answer pollsters, number one. And number two, they're not called. So the whole polling system is fraudulent.
You know, Michael, I believe that the reason that Barack hasn't been hurt by this is because the Americans are on to the right-wing media in their little smear campaigns. This is
You mean we created the pastors? We made them say these things?
No, you didn't create them at all, but you guys...
We didn't create them at all. Thank you for giving a smidgen of the truth here. Doesn't it concern you at all that the man would sit idly by while these sermons were going on?
What concerns me, Michael, is that the President of the United States got up there and lied to us to take us into this war, and it's all about that. It all comes...
Lied to us to take us into this war, so therefore you're ready to throw the country into the hands of a stone-hearted revolutionary?
Ready to rip it out of the
hand. Doesn't it bother you that he attends a church that's a black liberation theology church, a sort of Afro-Leninist church? Doesn't that concern you at all, Walter?
No, not at all, Michael. You know what?
So, in other words, you would like an Afro-Leninist to run the country?
Me is when the President of the United States gets
now, up. Now, Walter, when is it that you became a communist? Was it when you were in high school or college? When did you actually get, or were you a red diaper doper baby? Were you sent to a communist camp in the Poconos? Or was it later on in life that you became a communist?
Michael, I became a communist.
Was your father the communist or your mother? Was she the one in the ILGWU or your father?
You know, my father...
Was it the marijuana or the crack that you were smoking in college that you think finally turned you into a self-hater?
You know,
Walter, I think you need therapy. Call 911, take two aspirin, and get back to me in 10 years. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. Barack Hussein Obama resigns from his church. Obama's church friends lap up anti-white sermons by the bucketful. Those are two lead stories. The next lead story on michaelsavage.com from a thing called Vanity Fair is called, it's a tax Bill Clinton's called the Comeback Id, which they stole from me because I used it first. But I wouldn't expect creatures at Vanity Fair to acknowledge anything they steal. Underneath that is a picture of Kimbo Slice, dicing and slicing his opponent on the CBS special on Extreme Combat on Saturday night. Pretty interesting fights. The one I didn't like the most was the women fight because I don't like seeing women fight. I don't know how anybody can enjoy seeing women hit each other. I don't understand that part of it. I mean, admittedly, the women were tough. They're tougher than most men and all of that. But I don't know why women would want to go into extreme sports. I can't understand it. I don't know what's in their head. When I watch women do that, hitting each other in the breast and knocking each other, I don't get it. So I turned it off during the women fight. I can't watch it. To me, let it go with that. I'm going to say something that'll get me in trouble for a change. But seeing Kimbo Slice fighting the giant from England, who had a cauliflower ear that was hanging off when he walked in, and they stopped the fight when his ear was bleeding and hanging off. Wow, that was something to behold. But we learned that Kimbo Slice could not slice it on the mat. I'll be right back. Well, we know about Obama's problems with his pastor, Reverend Wright, and his statements about how he hates America, and Obama's wife, Michelle's statements about finally being proud to be an American like she really suffered, you know. Well, it looks like there is more trouble brewing for the Hussein Obama campaign that he may not be able to spin his way out of. Jeffrey Kuhner is a columnist at the Washington Times. He's been looking into this for us. Jeffrey, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to talk to you again.
Well, what have you found out?
Well, Michael, my sources have been telling me that there is a gathering political scandal that could decimate the Obama campaign and derail his chances to win the presidency in November. A senior Democratic operative, and I want to stress somebody who is very well connected, who has very close ties and intimate knowledge of the Clinton campaign, told me last week that the Clinton people are convinced that there is a tape, they believe a smoking gun tape, whereby Michelle Obama delivering a speech at United Trinity Church about 3 to 4 years ago. And in that speech, apparently Michelle Obama, according to this Democratic operative, is seen on video denouncing white people and denouncing what she calls the racism of whitey, quote unquote. Now, Michael, I want to stress that I have not seen this tape. I cannot verify that it's the existence of this tape. But here is what this operative told me, and this is a reliable operative, somebody with very, very good contacts within the Hillary camp and within the Democratic Party. Apparently, the Clintons have become convinced that this tape has now fallen into the hands of Karl Rove, and that Rove has been establishing a 527, one of those political groups that were created after the campaign finance reform of a couple years ago, to use in for an October surprise. That Rove believes that this tape should be released to the public sometime in late September or October, which will portray not only Obama's wife, but obviously Obama, as a radical anti-American, as somebody who clearly is not post-partisan and certainly not post-racial, as he claims to be, and that this will literally drive a massive wedge between Obama and really the heartland out there of middle working-class Americans who will see this as really an assault by liberal elites upon everything that they hold dear. And so what we've been told is that Rove believes that this will cripple Obama's chances for the presidency in 2008, and it will launch McCain into the White House. Now, the other point that I want to stress to you, Michael, is that what this Democratic operative has been telling me is that the Clinton people are convinced that Obama has a copy of this tape, that this is not just in the hands of Rove, but this is also in the hands of the Obama people, and that they would like to leak this tape to the media once the nomination has been secured for Obama. In other words, sometime in July or August, if it goes to the convention, then right after the convention. And they want to leak it on their terms so that they can control the message and the spin. But that they realize that this is a potentially devastating blow to the Obama candidacy.
Wow, what's he going to do about it? How can he possibly lessen the blow?
Michael, if you've noticed, over the last couple of weeks, Obama has been out on the stump saying that his wife is out of bounds, that people can no longer criticize his wife, that it's quote-unquote low class. In other words, he is trying to put up a wall around her so that any statements that will be made by her cannot be used by his enemies. And what the Clinton people are hoping for, Michael, is that this tape will be released to the public before the nomination process is over. The Clintons believe that this is perhaps their only chance. They are grasping at straws, and they believe this could be their only chance to basically salvage victory from the jaws of defeat. They believe that pretty much this campaign is over, that the superdelegates are now going in big numbers towards Obama, that the momentum cannot be stopped, and literally for them, this is their last gasp, their last chance to stop this Obama tidal wave and to basically portray Hillary as the only one who is electable in the fall by showing Michelle Obama as a radical extremist tied to her husband.
What is the Republican strategy? I know that's an oxymoron. What's it going to be on this?
Michael, that's an excellent question. I've been talking to a couple of Republican operatives. Nobody knows about the existence of this tape. So I really want to stress again, I have not been able to verify the existence of this tape. I have not seen the tape. But from the person, the operative that spoke to me is somebody who is reliable, who clearly knows what that person is talking about. The Clinton campaign is convinced of the existence of this tape. They are convinced. In fact, they claim they know that Rove has it and that he has been showing it to big-time Republican donors, about 10, 12, 15 of them, as a way to entice them to give huge amounts of money to these 527s. Apparently, there's a massive war chest that Rove is building up in private on the side to then level against Obama in September and October. And apparently, what I've been told by the Clinton people is that Rove and the Republicans are not just, they're not going to just swift boat Obama as they did Kerry in 04. This is going to be, quote unquote, a Spanish armada, that they are going to just unload on Obama, and that the tape will be the centerpiece of their attack strategy.
Oh, so Karl Rove has this tape. Is there any indication that McCain is going to be strong enough to actually use this information, or will he apologize for having had it?
Michael, that's another very good question. The McCain campaign is very reluctant to go negative against Obama. They are convinced that if they go negative against Obama, it will completely backfire. that the liberal mainstream press will present almost any kind of attack as racism or as racially motivated or as below the belt. So the McCain camp really believes that the only way to beat Obama is to fight him on the issues, is to run a very principled, gentlemanly campaign. And they believe that in the end that McCain will offer a more persuasive alternative to Obama. I have not been able to find out whether McCain and Rove are in fact collaborating on this. My suspicion is that this is probably something independent of McCain. Knowing McCain's temperament, knowing the kind of campaign he wants to run, I don't believe McCain has any kind of knowledge of this. But, you know, Michael, this is the problem with campaign finance reform, the McCain-Feingold bill that McCain introduced and helped to get passed, which is you now have all of these 527 groups, many of them shadowy organizations with no real oversight, no real control, no real sort of real ties or connections to either political party, basically going out there as mercenaries, almost freelance, and they're able to launch all kinds of attacks. So rather than really helping the political process, rather than reforming the political process, rather than getting sort of money out of the political process, what we have seen over the last couple of years is there's more money flowing into politics than ever before. It's no longer now going through the Democratic National Committee or the Republican National Committee. It's now just being filtered through all of these adjoining 527 groups. So, you know, that to me, not only was that bill unconstitutional, not only was it a profound violation of free speech rights, but in effect, it has further eroded and damaged the political process. So what you're now seeing is they're basically, you know, McCain and all of these other campaign finance reform advocates, including Hillary Clinton, including Barack Obama, are now reaping what they've sown. You know, Michael, to me, this is the $64,000 question about this election campaign. How radical is Barack Obama? Is he truly a hard left liberal, as many people in this town and as many Republicans and as many conservatives are convinced he is, or is he just more of a sort of vacuous liberal who really just spouts out these phrases, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for, change is coming, without any sort of real substance to him? What you're now seeing with the Reverend Wright Association, what you're now seeing with the association with Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist who helped to set bombs in a New York City police headquarters, in the Capitol building, against the Pentagon, and now with this potential tape, if it's there, with some of the words of Michelle Obama, you are seeing somebody who is dramatically out of touch with mainstream American values, who clearly does not have the qualifications and, more importantly, the temperament and the worldview to be president of the United States and the leader of the free world.
Savage.
Well, that was a pretty good interview. We're back on the Savage Nation Live. We've been talking about Obama's pastor problem. And now I want to spend a minute talking about, a little few minutes talking about climate change, meaning weather. We used to call it weather. Now it's climate change. And today the Senate is debating whether to pass a bill. But there's a new article up on michaelsavage.com from England. 31,000 scientists have signed a petition denying that man is responsible for global warming. Not all of them could be bought out, could they? I mean, could all of them be working for the oil industry? I kind of doubt it. Let's go to the callers on this topic. David in Norfolk, Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, hi, Michael. I'm the doctor and the atheist. I talked to you a long time ago. Anyway, did you know that the last 5 years, the asthma, incidence of asthma has doubled in the America, in the U.S.?
Yes. But you're suspecting that it's owing to global warming?
No, we are polluting the air. We are burning too much fossil fuel. So
that I agree with you on. I'm totally opposed to pollution, and I've worked against it for years. But to go to the hysterical level of saying the sky is falling and we're going to all die is another story. But, you know, with regard to the asthma epidemic that is out there, David, a little of this is probably true. And a little bit of it is probably because there are special benefits for children who declare themselves asthmatic. You do know that if a mother says the child's asthmatic, their payments go up if they're, let's say, on welfare. So there are benefits to being sick in America. And so let's not exclude the benefits of being sick in America from the data. Also, you might say the asthma epidemic could be related to pesticides in the environment, the importation of foods from China and other other places, which use unrestricted amounts of additives, which were banned in America. They could be triggering the asthma. So there are many, it's multifactorial. I wouldn't say it's just pollution.
Sure, when I drive in Military Highway in Norfolk, you know, I can smell the fumes. So I had to, if you don't put recycle, you can smell the fumes.
No, I hate fumes. It's one of the reasons I left New York many decades ago is I couldn't stand the pollution. So you're speaking to somebody who's always sought a pristine environment and worked for towards that end all of my life. But having said that, that doesn't mean I have to join the bandwagon of idiocy that Al Gore is circulating, that man is causing global warming, or the ice caps are melting and we're all going to, you know, drown. That's crazy. Thanks for the call. Now, to be fair to the discussion, since I am a PhD scientist and I don't want to make you think that there's only one side of this, even if we have seen a very slight increase in warming, and there has been a very slight increase in warming, the only question is how much of this warming, if any, is related to mankind's activities. You hear what I just said to you? We don't know. But to now, all of a sudden, close down our economy with the so-called Kyoto Protocol to limit greenhouse gases, you're going to have a harm to the environment. You're going to stop the advance of science technology. You're also going to damage the health and welfare of mankind by this. Do you know why? Well, do you know that the release of carbon dioxide and methane are actually beneficial for the environment? Go tell that to the idiots who are screaming about the sky is falling. I mean, to show you how desperate Al Gore is, he takes an uneducated rabble-rouser like Al Sharpton, and he puts him on a committee about global warming, and Al Sharpton gives a speech that we're going to save the environment. We're going to save the world now. Now, how in the world can you buy this when he goes to the extreme of taking a guy like Al Sharpton to talk about climate change? But it gets even worse. He takes that other guy, who's the preacher he used at the same time? I forget. Pat Roberts, whoever he is. So he hires Pat Roberts. There's plenty of money. Al Gore has lots of money to pass around. It's like the Democrat Party. It's called largesse. So they buy speakers for them to say, the sky is falling, you got to believe me. Be careful, don't rush like a lemming over the cliff. There is no convincing scientific evidence that human release of greenhouse gases is causing or will in the foreseeable future cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere and disruption of the Earth's climate. Moreover, if you really understand science, going back to the fifth grade, if you increase atmospheric carbon dioxide, you may have a beneficial effect upon the natural plant and animal environments. Why? Why do I say that? Al Gore doesn't even know basic science. If you have a little more carbon dioxide, you're going to have more plant life, which is good for the growth of crops. I don't understand how you people can not see this. It's the same way you can't see the real Obama. You can't see the real science of this hysteria. And that's why, thank God, you know, I was given this gift of the microphone in the Savage Nation, trying to correct ignorance one day at a time. Actually, it's one show at a time. If you want to read the article on 31,000 scientists signing a petition denying that man is responsible for global warming, go to michaelsavage.com, and don't blame me if you don't want to read it. Florida, Lori, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I wanted to speak to you about the presidential debate, but first I have to talk about Schiavo. The only thing so far, I just want your listeners to know.
Talk about what? Terry Schiavo?
Yes. No, I don't want to talk about it. I agreed that she had a right to die peacefully. Okay. Beyond that, kudos to your listener, Gail. Obviously an educated, alert, astute Afro-American woman.
Who said that it's a bait and switch with Obama. They're using his race to sell the left-wing ideology that he represents. That's the issue. It is bait and switch, of course. Thank you. Well put. Perfect. Now let's move on. Tucson, Arizona. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, it's fun to be alive. I really enjoyed that little Putin reference. I wonder how many of your listeners caught that. You're quite a literate man, aren't you?
Not really. I just read a lot.
Oh, well, Gulliver's Travels is a great novel. Very, very proximate and very relevant to our age. We should all go back and read it. So,
I agree. I totally agree. But we don't want to wind up like Jonathan Swift did in a madhouse, locked up in a tower.
I don't know. He kept some pretty great company, and I've read a lot of
it. But you know why Jonathan Swift was put into the madhouse? Because the political establishment said he was crazy for comparing them to Lilliputians. And because he called them Lilliputians, they said he was crazy. Of course, the Soviet Union specialized in that, didn't they? Where if you said that the great Soviet Union was not the paradise worker state that they said it was, they said you were crazy. They put you on psychiatric drugs and locked you up in a madhouse. We're not too far from that in America today, Adam.
No, communism is a lot like capitalism. They both sound great on paper, but neither one of them bear out in reality. That's Aristotle.
Well, now you and I are going to have a disagreement now because I'm not anti-capitalist. I'm anti-rapacious capitalism of the type that is increasingly being practiced today on Wall Street and in other places. This is not the nature of true capitalism. It's the nature of monopoly capitalism, which may sound like a misnomer to you, but what we have operational today is not true capitalism. It's monopoly capitalism. When you permit one newsman to take over so many aspects of the news, newspapers, television, cable, book publishing, internet, that's not capitalism. That's monopoly. And that's not to be confused with free market either.
I couldn't agree more. I think that the corporate right-wing media is one of the major threats to our republic today. And it amuses me when I hear people talking about Terry Schiavo and the illegal immigration wave. They're really, that's such some wonderful sensationalist.
When you say corporate right-wing media, you're talking about most, if not all, though. But not all of the media is owned by any ideology. I mean, let's be clear about that. Moreover, how do you explain the fact that ABC, CBS, and NBC are not exactly right-wing, but rather left-wing?
Well, I don't know. It's General Electric and Disney, are those left-wing organizations? Those are huge multinational corporations that make a lot of money from war.
Yeah, but Disney is well known to be far to the left of center. Michael Eisner, when he ran it, was a whack job left-winger.
Well, this notion that there's a liberal media is not based on reality.
Come on, that's nonsense. Most of the stories in the media are left-wing in bias. In fact, every poll, even done by the media itself, will indicate that 90% of the people in the media vote for the Democrat a candidate and their left-wingers. How can you say that?
When it comes to taxes and warfare and foreign policy, the media is corporate and right-wing. When you guys,
well, my friend, you mean you want higher taxes?
Can I make a statement? Can I get something?
Well, you just said when it comes to taxes, that's a very sensitive issue for me. I think that I'm being killed by taxation, and I resent the taxes being so high, and I don't want to pay them at this rate anymore. Here in the state of California, I'm paying 11% of my gross income to the state of California. I have broken roads, filth in the street, psychopaths running around. Why should I pay any more here in the state of California? What do you mean? You want higher taxes?
I want a chance to make a point, but you're not going to allow me to do that.
You keep making statements, and when I respond to them, you say I'm not giving you a chance to make a point. You make a point, and I refute it, and then you say I don't give you a chance to make a point. The taxes right now are at the level of raping the average citizen.
You're doing the same thing to me I do to most people, and it's annoying. And now I'm getting a taste of my own medicine. Have a good night.
Adam, let me ask you something. Do you actually work for a living? Adam, do you work for a living? Or did they give you a coin in the rehab unit? I guess that's the... Do they let them make a call from rehab units once a day? Is that what it is? Okay, I don't mean to make them upset. I would suspect that rehab has a call permitted one a day to a talk show, and he just got the coin. They gave him the quarter for the... We don't accept collect calls. I don't know how he got through. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Houston, Leo, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's Port Arthur, Texas. But I just have a statement I would like to make for you and your audience. I know I won't change your mind, and nothing that you say will change me. From my opinions, we're both going in a different direction. However, I think there's a legitimate need for a real third party in this country.
Oh, you're talking to someone who's been screaming that for years, Leo. Leo, neither party satisfies my agenda, which is borders, language, and culture. Neither party cares about our borders, nor about the English language, nor about our common cultural unities. None of them, neither of them do. They all stand for the internationalist agenda. I mean, both do.
Well, the reason I say that, you can't really define who's who now. You got Republicans masking away as Democrats, and Democrats are just basically going out there doing whatever. And this
Leo, I agree with you. In fact, I've declared them 15 years ago when I started in radio as Democrats and Republicrats. They're almost the same party. It's like a one-party system in a two-card Monty game.
Yeah, well, right about now, the state of politics in this country is out of control. It's just something that...
I agree with you. The war is out of control. Why should this war be going on so long? Even if you argue that we went to Iraq with noble purposes to liberate 24 Iraqis, which I'm not so sure is the reason we went there, even if you agree with that, why are we still there? Why are we still there? World War II was resolved in 5 years. It's because of the contracting and because we have the worst commander-in-chief in the history of the United States government, a man who either goes too hard or too soft but doesn't exactly know what to do.
The reason for reform. That was about the gist of my statement. We are in serious trouble right now. If this is the best offering this country have, is these three yahoos that are out there now running for office, we're simply going down the tubes. I mean, it's
well, Leo, you and I don't disagree on the fundamentals then. I don't know. You say you're going in one direction, I'm going in another. We both want a third party that's viable, and I'm certainly not here going to disagree with you. I did make a commitment couple of months ago that November 8th, 2008, after the election, God willing, I'm still on the radio, and God willing, I've defeated the CAIR group that's trying to drive me off the air with your help. I will announce the creation of the American Nationalist Party. I am an independent nationalist, and our motto is very simple: borders, language, culture. That's been my motto from the day I began in radio. Borders, language, culture. That's going to be the motto of the third party. It stands apart from both of the parties that we are dealing with right now. And we'll see. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've never seen a campaign where if you attack a candidate on talk radio, you're called names like racist or whatever, simply because you expose him for his actual beliefs. It's pretty amazing to me, the game they play, but I've faced this all of my life with so-called progressives. Their game is name-calling. They'll never discuss the facts. The fact is, Obama has the most liberal voting record in Congress. Let's start with facts. Now, if you're an extreme liberal, of course you're going to like the man. I happen to be an extreme conservative, so I don't like the man's politics. Now, what do you expect me to do? Say I like his politics because you want me to? If you look at his voting record, he is far to the left of the general American. He's out of touch with the mainstream. He's in touch with the far-left radical stream inside the Democrat Party. I think it's a disaster for America to go down the road of socialism. And I'd like to alert you to that. North Carolina, Jeff, you're up in the Savage Nation.
So much. I'm a conservative, and I believe in reparations for the descendants of slaves in America. I don't believe that there's anything else that's truly going to make a substantive difference.
All right, so let's start with this rationally without getting angry. You believe that every African-American should get a reparation from whom?
First of all, if they're a descendant of slaves, they should be qualified for reparations.
All right, so you're excluding African-Americans, for example, who emigrated here, let's say, from 1960 on or whatever.
Obama wouldn't qualify, for example.
No, well, I'm not. First of all, I'm not dismissing your statement, even though I disagree with you. I'm going to try to do this logically. So you're saying anyone who actually can prove that they damaged by having an ancestor who was enslaved should get reparations. So that would eliminate an awful lot of people, wouldn't it?
I'm so glad you used that word, damaged, because that's the key.
But wait, you have to play two ways with me. If I'm going to give you a point, you have to give me one. You mean that not all African Americans would be qualified for reparations?
That's correct. No, not all will be.
So now who would pay the reparations? Would it be all white people?
Actually, the form in which reparations should take shape would better serve through tax cuts similar to what our present president has implemented.
But if you cut taxes for one group of Americans, you have to raise taxes for another to balance the budget. That's assuming you want to balance the budget. So that means you're making everybody pay for the sin of slavery, when in fact, I, for example, am the son of an immigrant who wasn't around during slavery. Why should I pay for that damage done to your ancestors?
Because when your ancestors came to America, for example, your parents were able to go to college at a state.
No, they weren't. My father never went to college. Why do you assume he went to college? My grandfather died of a heart attack at 48 from coming here with the strain as an immigrant of not being able to bring his family here, having to work to bring them over. And then when he got them over here, he dropped dead from the exhaustion. So you're making an assumption that's false.
That is correct. It is a false assumption in your case. But in other situations, if I could...
Well, so then why should I pay reparations to anyone? Even if you can argue that there was damage done and there was damage done, don't you think the folks who caused the damage and the descendants of those folks should be paying those reparations? That would be the descendants of the King of Spain who engaged in the slave trade. That would be the government of Saudi Arabia that in fact benefited greatly from the slave trade. And numerous other entities and organizations that in fact benefited from slavery.
I don't disagree with your premise very much at all. What my concern is that, you know, when slavery ended, the Jim Crow era lived for another 100 years, and people who were immigrants to this country during that era did not sustain this sort of discriminatory tactics.
I've heard the argument. So the implication then is that all whites are in some way have benefited from slavery. That's part of the black liberation theology. I disagree with it entirely. Only because I've seen so many people of my father's generation, my grandfather's generation, kill themselves to get a toehold in this country. You see, the assumption is that because they were European of ancestry, people were waiting for them with their hands out and giving them pots of gold. They struggled, my friend. They lived in abject poverty, and they were given nothing. You can't argue they were given something and the black man was given nothing, and it was wink, wink, let's put the black guy down. I didn't see that, Jeff.
Few people would disagree with you on that. And in addition to that...
See, you're a reasonable man. I don't hear a tinge of hatred in you. And that's why you and I could have a conversation and end up having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a beer together. Maybe we would resolve this difference. Maybe we wouldn't. But when you hear the reverends in that church, there's no way to have a dialogue with that kind of human being. Anyway, I bless you for calling the show because you've opened up a whole new chain of thought here. And perhaps you've seen a new Michael Savage, which really is nothing new because I've said the same things 10 years ago. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return. Go to michaelsavage.com and I'll be there tonight.
Savage.